Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. Want to welcome all those listening by satellite and listening by the internet, and then those of you that listen later on by archives. Welcome from around the world. Welcome right where you're at. We trust this is a supernatural and providential hour. Now, we know this week is going to be pretty rough. It's going to be pretty rough for some listening because maybe you, for the first time, are checking in. Please understand the depth of the information this week and the need for it to bring it out and to bring the exposure. So it's going to kind of seem, well, pretty strong, pretty deep, kind of blood and guts of the underside. Because of how it grows, how it develops, how it continues to engage humanity and lead it towards the end. So we must bring exposure. We must be able to kind of scream out what is really going on. That's why this week and next week, Satanic Rituals. The theme as a whole, Satanic Rituals. As you take a look at the website, shatterthedarkness.net, not only will you see this theme listed, you're going to see also where there are PDF file notes, an introductory mini-cast that we have for the 2 weeks, and then also for this specific week, a small little 18-minute mini-cast to those who are prayer warriors. Why? We're going to ask all the prayer warriors out there to engage this next couple of weeks. We also listed the Satanic Calendar. And the reason that we've done that this time is that everything occurring from yesterday, Monday the 21st, all the way to the 30th, literally the 1st of May and into the 4th of May, we have Walpurgis Night coming, human sacrifice, and abduction. And so there's going to be worldwide in your nation and in the cities that you live in, underground rituals, underground engagement, summoning of the dark side demons, the acquisition or the reception of those demons, the sending of those demons. Let me say to all the believers out there that you understand that it's by God's power that we advance, that it's by God's power we are saved, that there's power in prayer, there's power in our study of the Word of God, in the Word. There's the power of the gospel. We understand power. Now, Jesus said in Luke 10, I have given you authority, well, to trample on the dark side, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Now, that's vital for us to understand that the dark side, the demonic side, there's real powers, abilities. They could not counterfeit charismatic gifting, signs, wonders, and miracles without that. And everything the Scripture teaches us is that the closer to the end we get, the more the ramping up, how demonstrative it will become. So the issue is, what's going on now? The frog in the kettle approach over the last 60 years, little by little by little, the world is being spiritually cooked, per se, and doesn't realize the depth of what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about, a secret power of lawlessness already at work. There is this development, a coming of the Antichrist. So around the world, where literally now billions would say, yes, we feel it in the air. We feel some kind of something coming down. We feel the end is here around the corner. There's reasons for that. There's reasons for the unprecedented development of counterfeit spiritual movements and so forth. So as we look into this, we know that there's going to be those who are brand new listening. So welcome. Hang on. Prayers and blessings in the name of the living Christ to you. May God speak to all hearts listening. We know there's a lot of believers listening. Blessings to you in Christ. We know that there are those who are seekers and they're searching. There are those from the other side of the fence. And so we know that Satanists and even demonized individuals will listen at least for a while. The note that I got yesterday was, wow, this is the first time that they've been listening, it says. And then I quote, now listen, this is what they say, but they don't like you, I have to turn it off. But they don't like you, I have to turn it off. Now that's not the first time I've heard this. So we want to pray again, all those listening as believers, pray for everyone else listening that God would crush the demonic and in the name of Jesus, that those powers would be bound and that God would crush that work of darkness so the gospel could be heard, that individuals could be freed. So let me say in the beginning, before anything's turned off, Jesus Christ is the authority, the Savior, the one that loves you. Turn to the living Christ and receive Him. Turn and call on His name. Ask Him to deliver you. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to come into your life. Surrender your life completely to the Lord Jesus and receive the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Now, we'll say more, but I wanted to say it in the beginning and wanted to say the prayer for all listening this week. We're going to ask that God would really stir hearts that are believers worldwide. Listen, I get the letters, and I read you the one from Johannesburg, South Africa, yesterday. And I can read you more crime reports from around the world and in Russia, as we mentioned, in Europe, in Italy. They're literally, I want to say this, they're literally going crazy at the Vatican because they're so overwhelmed with possessed people, demonized people, and the voices in the head. This is true in a report that we got where it was spoken about in Germany and the level of possessions there. So in the last 60 years, where a lot of alternative spirituality, occultism, Satanism, Wicca, Druidism, Santeria, Palomo, all kinds, the resurrection of engagement of ancient temple gods there among the Mayan temples and other places around the world. And so as that side pressures the human race to open their minds, open their hearts, and to receive, as we read about that in in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now that's, again, tonight, again, is about bringing some biblical revelation to all of this. Because we can deal with the numbers, we can deal with the engagement, we can deal with the fact that many, even believers, and those believers that are listening right now, you may not be prepared for all of this, but you're listening, and I do trust the Spirit of God to call you, speak to your heart, about having total discipleship, which includes your walk with Christ and the depth of that salvation He's given you, getting deep into the Word of God, learning how to worship and enjoy and in delight in Christ, but also to learn the power of God to be a witness, to be out sharing Christ and leading others to Christ, and then to become extremely powerful in prayer. I'm going to say it again. This is such an incredible arena that God has given in prayer. So much could happen, but there's so little praying going on. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. And even the Lord Jesus saying, nothing is impossible to them that believe. There's some incredible things that can be done, and one of the focuses this week and next week is asking believers to begin to pray in your cities that God would do what He did in the days of Ezekiel the prophet. Listen again, that God would do what He did in the days of Ezekiel the prophet. It is very clear that God wanted to bring exposure. Can I read the words? Ezekiel chapter 8, beginning at verse 2. I looked, and I saw a figure like that of a man. From what appeared to be his waist down, he was like fire, and from there up his appearance was as bright as glowing metal. He stretched out what looked like a hand and took me by the hair of my head. The Spirit, referring to the Spirit of God, lifted me up between earth and heaven, and in visions of God, he took me to Jerusalem, to the entrance. Now, this is what God did. I titled a broadcast about a year and a half ago, A Supernatural Hole into the Substructure of Radical Evil. How many of you today listening have engaged the mafia? How many listening have engaged head drug lords? Though we know it's a multi-billion dollar industry worldwide, though we know what's happening in Mexico and the thousands and thousands and thousands that have died in the battle in the midst of the drug trade, the drug lords, and the drug lords, by the way, calling on favors from Santa Muerte, the demon god of death. They get poleros and they get satanic priests that would call upon the powers to shield them, to literally bless the drug trade. Now, isn't that a combination? Pharmakeion, the drug and demonic connection we find in the book of Revelation towards the end, is deeply rooted in the drug trade worldwide. And there is the seeking of demonic powers, demonic favors, which includes human sacrifice. Well, like the numbers of individuals they found in the cave in Cancun, some of which had their hearts removed. You and I need to be able to brace ourselves and deal with the fact that around the world in history and biblical history and what's going on currently involves what God calls in Ezekiel chapter 8, detestable. Now, take a listen for a second as we go a little further. When the Spirit of God leading, guiding in a supernatural way, let me say first off, in dealing with what's going on today, that secret power of lawlessness, in dealing with the development of the coven work worldwide in the midst of satanic ritual abuse, and those power centers. See, Christians can understand hundreds and thousands of prayer small groups all over. You've got to understand there's a counterfeit to that. There are satanic prayer groups, if you want to call it that, covens that gather together. They know the ancient languages. They are bloodlined. They are practitioners. And when they have meetings, there's no spectators. Nobody gets invited to go just to watch and observe. The practitioners that go, they spend their hours engaged and then summoning the demonic and then receiving them, transferring them, sending them out against individuals, targeting churches, targeting pastors, and releasing those powers, as they say, into the air over cities. As one individual told me, it is to build up spiritually air superiority. You know, we're the prince of the power of the air, the eros, that Greek word, the immediate dense atmosphere. Well, it is no question in the Old Testament they had to engage the gods and goddesses. They had to engage Moloch and Baal. They had to engage Nebo and Chemosh and many other gods and goddesses that involved human sacrifice. And anybody rereading the Old Testament again, you're going to notice that Israel had to fight nations that were demonized, committed to the demonic side and to the demon gods, that were sacrificing their children, putting them through the fire agony of a horrific ritual, human sacrifice of children. And so you can find that throughout the entire Old Testament. Even the use of human sacrifice and human blood in calling on the dark powers to fall upon Moabite soldiers so they could defeat Israel. Do you remember when Moses had his arms lifted up in prayer intercession for Israel? They went to battle against a demonized nation that served demon gods, that called on those gods to win in battle. But as Moses prayed, God was moving Israel in advance. And we notice that when Moses stopped praying, well, the battle went the other way. The battle was completely controlled by manifested powers. In the absence of anyone opening the laws of engagement, without prayer, where's the answer going to come from? Without somebody seeking the Lord, it's as if prayer itself, like in Daniel's day, is a window through which God comes. Ask and then you receive, not the other way around. Seek and then you find, not the other way around. Knock and then the door is opened, not the other way around. So in verse 3 of chapter 8 of Ezekiel, God himself is doing the leading. God himself is doing the engaging of the prophet and supernaturally guiding him, taking him to the north gate of the inner court where the idol that provokes to jealousy stood. Yeah, the demonized actual idol, image of the demon god. And there before me was the glory of the God of Israel, as in the vision I had seen in the plain. Verse 5, then he said to me, Son of man, look toward the north. So I looked, and in the entrance, north gate of the altar, I saw this idol of jealousy. And he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? Now listen to how God explains it. Utterly detestable things the house of Israel is doing here. Things that will drive me far from my sanctuary. But you will see things that are even more detestable. Now, when you begin to read this, I want you to understand that this week you're going to hear about some of the underground stuff, some of the blood and guts. As I mentioned on Monday night, laying foundations, that when we hear the blood and the guts of this underground stuff and the development, how broad and wide it is, and why it will get darker and broader as we near the end of days, the very end of days, well, then you'll understand that the powers that are manifesting are because there are those that are opening sacrificial doors, well, as it was in the past, so it is, and so it will be. Blood rituals are seen to be the primary doorways for the demonic to enter in and manifest and grab a hold of the hearts of individuals, of families, of tribes, of nations, entrenching their presence, guiding for the building of temples dedicated to the demon gods. We'll take a look at all of this. Once again, Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. I want to welcome you to Shatter's broadcast live on the 19th, a Tuesday night, 2011. It is April, and tonight's out of the theme, Satanic Rituals, powers that can affect you and will affect the world, what you, your city, your church don't know does, not only can, but does harm you. So on Tuesday night, we have Biblical Revelation on Satanic Rituals. It was there all the time. And so again, Bible students and theologians and pastors can go back and look before the flood. Why did God bring the judgment of the flood? It did have to do with the B'nai HaElohim, these fallen angels that came down, grabbed the women, and created Nephilim. You have hybrids, demon-human hybrids, on the earth in those days. And there's a lot of extra biblical literature coming out about it, but we want to stick literally with just this, what God has given insight to. The reason was for the detestable, radical evil that was inseparable from demon worship, human sacrifice, child human sacrifice, and infecting and transmuting entire family lines, tribes that were then bent spiritually charged and then driven to destroy Israel. And demonic manifested presence on any nation is going to constantly, as in the future, desire to bring annihilation to Israel because of what's going to happen. Because of the return of the king. Back to Ezekiel chapter 8 in just a moment. Want to remember that there's a few conferences coming up. The moment we have the nail down for the speaking engagement in Dayton, Ohio, we'll let you know. Also coming into Missouri in the middle of June. But also the Future Congress. Future Congress. The subtitle is Emerging Threats and Challenges 2011. Now, there's a banner on the website, and there is, you can take a look at some of the speakers. Many of you know Tom Horn and the books that he's written. You also know that we have, you could take a look at all the different ones, and there's one individual I've never heard in person before that I'm looking forward to hearing myself, and that would be Chuck Missler. He's going to be there also as one of the main presenters. Now, they've invited me to give a couple sessions during the workshops, and so we're going to be there. We're finding out more and more. So we're encouraging you to set yourself up for an incredible time. And if you look at all the details, it seems as though some vacation time could be... it looks like there's a lot of enormous events and other things that can be done. We might spend an extra few days in the area ourselves as we engage that coming conference. Well, we're looking at some more, but again, keep checking the website for the conference dates and times and details. Want you to know that the Book of Acts Field Manual for the End of Days will continue to progress this week. That right along the way, my wife's podcast, she ended up doing a very long one the last week. So normally it's about 20 minutes, 18 minutes, but she went over an hour or so, and that one, we're watching the downloads, and we're appreciating those who are contacting her. She loves and she prays for all those that listen, as we do. Want you to know that with the series this week, there are PDF file notes you can download, encouraging you to go to, on the left-hand side of the website, there is a little tab that says Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. And once you click on that, you're going to see that there's already, I think, about 13 or 14 hours. And it looks like we're going to add a lot more. And there's even specific one-hour-long sessions, training sessions, to help out in the area of law enforcement when it comes to occult and satanic crimes. What can be done about what we've seen in the last 25 years or more in the underground, in the engagement with hundreds of thousands of victims of satanic ritual abuse? They call it SRA, MPD, or DID. And it's not just in the United States or in Canada or just in Australia. I want you to think this through. In the last 30 years, to the point of millions have shown up in psych wards, counseling centers, seeking help and treatment, voices in the head, enormously emotionally damaged. Through trauma, their very personalities split, demonized. Ancient languages, an incredible programming, and the agenda. It's happened in Ireland and Scotland and England and Spain, France and Italy and Estonia and Romania and Russia and throughout Germany and in Finland and Sweden and in Switzerland, Italy, all over the place, Mediterranean area, all over the place. So again, the question on the first generation victims that have shown up in the last 30 some years, we're talking 40 million. But they had children, and when they were unhealed, sub-personalities and the covens did the same. The children are numbering 20, 30 million worldwide. But they're around 40 years old, 30s and 40s, and they had children, And their children, a third generation has developed. They're reaching into the beginning of the 20s. And we're talking millions there. And then they had children. We are now down to the fourth generation. The reason why we want to continue to emphasize the numbers, because it's staggering. It's like for the first time trying to hear about Auschwitz and the many camps throughout all of Germany where there was the destruction of millions and millions of people, individuals shoveled into ovens. And all that was occurring, well, in the beginning, nobody believed. In the beginning, nobody could, they only heard the reports. They only heard, secondhand and thirdhand reports were coming out. And then eventually, the films showed it all. And the leftover victims and the piles of bodies, well, now we know. Now you can go and you can see military films. You can see the places. You have individuals still living since those days. Now, nobody believed in the beginning. It was to be a final solution, birthed and operated in total secrecy. Even the Lebensborn development of creating a master race of supermen, super soldiers, the godmen, the Aryan race. Now, you've got to understand, just because the Nazis were defeated in the 40s, you'll miss the boat completely if you don't understand how their agenda and they spread worldwide. South Africa, South America, throughout the Catholic system worldwide. Where do you think all those sexually abused and probably normally all cases involved ritual abuse? The black rooms of the Catholic church buildings that Malachi Martin and William Kennedy have brought exposure to. So a special word to the Vatican in the frantic goal of training and offering courses and doing what they can do to develop exorcists. Here's the bottom line. Jesus is the great deliverer. We look to him in the scriptures, in the gospels, on how he brought, by his sheer presence, exposure to demonized individuals. It was as if he forced their manifestation, them out into the open, and then dealt with them, crushing them, expelling them, demonstrating what, in the book of Colossians chapter 2 speaks about how he triumphed over them. Now, there was literally a spectacle in the sense of a God exposing them and crushing their work and expelling them, triumphing over them by the cross. Don't forget 1 John 3:8. Now, that was the word of hope for yesterday. We'll mention it today, a verse that should be memorized and known. We read very clearly in the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared or manifested was to destroy the devil's work. Let me say to all listening, those who are skeptics, those believers who have not engaged Luke chapter 10 and appropriated the authority of Christ and been involved in evangelization that involved individuals that needed deliverance, let me say this, skepticism will not help anybody. Unbelief, well, I read in the Gospel of Mark when Jesus went to a certain area that he was amazed at their lack of faith and could do only a few miracles among them. Please understand that the Word of God in Hebrews says, see to it, brethren, that none of you have a sinful heart of unbelief that drifts away from the living God. It's about coming again under the Lordship of Christ and to the Word of God as a whole, not in part, but as a whole. The arrival of God in human flesh, we're going to go over tonight, and we're going to see that it had everything to do. His very conception and birth and arrival had everything to do with bringing a conquering. It brought the most massive exposure to the entrenched legal grounds, the dark side Satan and the demons have had for thousands of years. Jesus' arrival was marking a new day in fallen human history. Taking a look back to Ezekiel chapter 8, it's an amazing chapter. I wonder if I could ask a number of believers listening right now if anybody's ever heard a sermon on this chapter. Anybody go over in verse-by-verse teaching? Like what it says in verse 6, when the Spirit of God, when God is speaking to him and says, "Son of man, do you see what they are doing?" Let me stop. God's asking the great prophet when God is showing him, God had to be the one to peel back the satanic secrecy. Literally by supernatural cutting in to what was going on in the underground of Israel, of Jerusalem. And so God has to say to the prophet, "Son of man, do you see what they are doing?" And I'm just going to tell you that when we began, probably 30 years ago, with demonized individuals, when we engaged a young girl, 14 years old, in a psych ward, I just returned from the police academy in Southern Ohio. A law officer, a law agent, brought me in, kind of under the carpet, into the academy to be in training courses on satanic and occult crimes. Watching slide after slide, watching the officers engage the instructor about satanic crimes and occult crimes and the motivation, and looking at signs and symbols and what does a satanic justice symbol mean, what does the Baphomet mean, what is the pentagram, what is the pinnacle, looking at all the signs that represent specifics. So the day that I got back that night, on the couch, a phone call comes in, pleading for me to help. "Please go down to the children's hospital and engage a little girl, 14 years old, a little blonde-haired girl, 14 years old, who is, we look back on it, with programming, constantly writing about how she was to douse herself with gas and light herself to prove her love for the mother. That is, her love for the, well, her mother is, still is a mother of darkness inside a deep satanic priestess. Just there alone, the detestable things I saw. Just engaged in that one case alone. This individual had their personalities split in numerous altars and languages and demonization and all that went on there. So when I read this, do you see what they are doing? My answer after 25 years of direct engagement with the victims of satanic ritual abuse, with going in teams after the ritual sites, looking for them, tracking them, looking for verification, because that's been our rule. We want verification. We want to know. God's been willing to open the door and show us. God's been willing to break through the satanic secrecy, and I am convinced is going to rip open broader doors of that satanic secrecy. Maybe this week, maybe next week, you can be a part of that praying and seeking the same living God that guided the prophet Ezekiel, a great example to us, Ezekiel. He was willing. So I'm going to ask the question that God asks the prophet, do you see what they are doing? God goes on to explain the utterly detestable things that the house of Israel is doing here. Things, this is the ritual stuff, the human sacrifice, the calling and summoning of demons, the marking of symbols and so forth. That's what these things are, as explained in the chapter. These are the things God is saying will drive me far from my sanctuary. Stop. You ever wonder why this kind of Satanism seeks to infiltrate the church and get in and be a part and be a friend, just like in ancient Israel? You know who it was deep in the caverns? You know who it was keeping the secrecy? You know who it was doing the human and child sacrifice? 70 elders of Israel. In our engagement with satanic ritual abuse, one of their goals is to be stationed and placed in churches. One of the reasons, well, not just bring spiritual warfare against pastors and churches, but to obtain a level of, vulnerability, a level of connection, association. Maybe they'll get the keys of the church. They love to come and use the church. They love to come to the building and bring demonized objects. They love to bring in things that have come from blood-oriented sacrifice rituals. They love to try to bring in what they would call dirtying spiritually. Now, see, they see the church building as a sanctuary, though we understand it's only a building. It is the place we meet. And when that kind of covert spiritual ritual warfare is going on, it always involves a level of infiltration. They're wanting to use it, call on, and we've engaged it here in the greater Akron area. Matter of fact, one individual group got caught directly right there in the altar area of the local sanctuary of that local church. Blood, urine, other stuff, Bibles burnt, calling on demons. And that's a glory to them to be able to do this. Now that a Satanist listening to the real, real underground Luciferians listening. Again, you've been prayed for in advance that you would be listening, that God would extraordinarily engage you and engage the demons within. Like this boy that wrote to me yesterday after he listened. He begins with wow as he's listening, but then it says, they don't like you. I have to turn it off. Comes from a man from Manchester, England, we're praying for. All the prayer warriors out there can pray for this man in Manchester, England, that God would engage. He has asked if there's anybody that can do real deliverance ministry like Jesus, like in the book of Acts. He wants help, but the demons inside wouldn't let him even finish listening. Pray for the man in Manchester, England that I'm talking about. I can tell you about the one in Romania. I can tell you about, well, the email that I read yesterday on Monday night show from South Africa. Unbelievable. I sent to L.A. Marzulli the article that was sent to me concerning the Arizona professor sitting in the same ground where Jared, who killed all the individuals and the Congress shot the congresswoman and killed all these others, where Jared did all of this. Of course, back when this occurred, I believe LA had me on and we talked about him looking like a chosen one. That is, someone who's been satanically, richly abused, the creation of subpersonalities and the using of those personalities and the demonization. So this professor was sitting out there, as I mentioned yesterday. And part of, in the midst of his chanting, which chanting may have been twilight language, is calling on the demons, praising the demons, summoning the demons. Yet the officer, and it's quoted in the article, and I have it linked on my site, if you look at shatterthedarkness.net, right there under the minicast message overview, L.A. Marzulli's blog on Satanic Chosen Ones. And it's an Arizona update concerning the shooter, Jared Lee. When you look at the face of Jared Lee, once again, I'm going to tell you what I've seen in those darkened black eyes that have subpersonalities and that kind of demonized grimace grin. Here's the words that were spoken by the professor. Quote, "We are the ones you've been waiting for," end of quote. And, quote, "We are the chosen ones," end of quote. In the underground, they know that that's a particular word used of those being created in the underground, those being developed in the underground. To the victims of SRA, MPD, DID, whatever they want to call it, in Russia, in Estonia, where new listeners are listening, welcome. Well, in Finland and in all of Germany, deep in Germany, underground in Germany, castles in Germany, you know, like Wurzburg, where military Michael Aquino, founder of the Temple of Set, who had one time said that there was a satanic grotto on every military base around the world. He went to that old Himmler occult castle, Hall of the Dead, where the 13 skulls were. See, they believed that they had the dead, the skulls of dead SS soldiers that were there, to where they were trying to, allow communication. In other words, dark entities would be involved, and there would be a communication from these skulls to them to give them greater insight for the war. If you haven't understood Nazi Germany's acquisition of dark powers and weaponizing every ounce of them to try to win a war, that's why they were so blinded in how they could slaughter, seemingly without conscience, though they did do it in the most secretive of ways until it was broken into. Back to Ezekiel 8 again. And I want to mention to you as we go there again, let's ask the questions in the Old Testament. Who is Moloch? Human beings, moms and dads, even in Israel, were led spiritually to be convinced that they should offer their children in a horrible, painful, burning, slow process of torture, human sacrifice to Moloch. Baal is included, Nebo, others, many other of the gods of the Old Testament. And wherever the Nephilim were, both before the flood and after the flood, you're going to find, even in the development of the ziggurats worldwide, of the kinds of temples that you're seeing among the Maya. And don't be convinced that, oh, the Maya are a deeply passive, quiet, spiritual people. What you see today is nothing like it was back in the day when thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of human beings were sacrificed in the most horrific, painful, torturous ways. And where blood flowed down those stairs, heads rolled. Well, you can read, just again, do your own search on the human sacrifice. One Italian archaeologist, it was in the last year that I quoted him, 50 to 70,000 human beings sacrificed in the last couple of years of the Mayan civilization. So all of the other Mayan stuff coming out is really a facade. Those perpetrating it are either blinded themselves or maybe even a part of the underground. The drug ayahuasca is used down there. As a matter of fact, today, just today, I couldn't believe it. It popped up early this morning as I was getting things ready earlier. Well, I looked at what's called In the Footsteps of the Ancient Gods. That's how it's titled anyway. But it comes from the Prophets Conference that involves people like Graham Hancock, Daniel Pinchbeck, and a whole host of others that do promote the drug ayahuasca. And the goal of taking the drug is to open your consciousness to the entities, to the temple gods. But another one of the training things, another one of the seminars concerning the ancient temple builders and the gods and goddesses involved. I'm simply bringing all of this out to say, whether it's, and listen to my, but to my left here, I'm not going to have time tonight, but let me read just the top of the article here. In reference to the Old Testament, here's what I'm going to read. Quote, offering human sacrifice was a very ancient custom and has been practiced at different times and among many nations. Well, it goes over the Ethiopians, the Babylonians, Assyrians, Phoenicians, Canaanites, Scythians, the Egyptians, Chinese, Persians, Gauls. Whoop, did I say Chinese? Well, let me, here, another article. Listen to the top of the article. This is by Kerr Tan. The article says this: skeletal remains of ancient human sacrifice found in China. And it goes over a story on those remains. There were so many articles. So National Geographic News, here's the title: Ancient Mass Sacrifice. Here's the title. You will not believe the title: Ancient Mass Sacrifice, Riches Discovered in China's Tomb. A 25,000-year-old tomb containing nearly four dozen victims of human sacrifice has been excavated in eastern China, yielding a treasure trove of precious artifacts. This all occurred during the time of Confucius, archaeologists say, end of quote. So on the one hand, the National Geographic News, Kevin Holden Platt in Beijing, China, says that a 25,000-year-old tomb containing nearly four dozen victims of human sacrifice. And then he goes right on to saying in the same sentence, yielding a treasure trove of precious artifacts. Yeah, demonized artifacts, artifacts that may have been used in the sacrifice. Are you kidding me? Do you realize the artifacts found in the places where human sacrifice occurred may be demonized objects? Do you understand that the ground where the blood was shed, the very places themselves would be demonized? The presence, the point anyway on the notes this time is, the demon gods of the past, whether in ancient Israel, whether among the Philistines, the Moabites, Zamzumis, you look at the Anakites of the Old Testament, or you look to Egypt, or you look to the Maya, or you look to China. The demon gods don't die. The demon gods don't go away. Even if the doorway's shut, or if there's no more humans to serve them and keep doorways open and do their bidding in the context of human sacrifice, they will seek others. They will seek others. Demon gods and goddesses of 2,000, 3,000, and 4,000, and 5,000 years ago are still alive, my friends. They summon, they call, they network. In the Word of God, we read the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work, that word means supernaturally operative, in those who are disobedient. There is a satanic synchronicity going on all around the world. And just as in the past, so now, the incredible use of human sacrifice. For every listener right now, here on April the 19th, we are in what would be considered a time of satanic preparation. We are in what would be considered a time of, desiring to search for victims to be used. Now, that's why I want you to be educated this week. That's why I want you to take a look again at old biblical stories. That's why I want you to take a look at Ezekiel chapter 8 and read it again and again and again and let God speak to you. Again, verse 6, Ezekiel 8, in God speaking, he says, "Son of man, do you see what they are doing?" I'm going to ask you the question. Do you see? Are you willing to take a look? God calls it utterly detestable things. Things that will drive God, the dark side knows this. It's about the laws of engagement. Either they manifest and have their success, or in the name of Christ and the extension of the kingdom of God, I'll give you an example. Acts chapter 8, when a man filled with the Spirit of God, Philip, goes in to unleash the gospel that included deliverance. Look what happens in a city where a man that's considered having the great power, darkness, that is, dark power, and literally amazing in holding in subjection, submission, the high and the low of the city. So what does Philip do? He unleashes the gospel. People get saved. People get healed. And it says that demons come out screaming because of the force of the authority of the name of Christ and the basileia. Now, the basileia, the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the concept in the book of Acts, the concept in the coming of Christ is an inseparable. See, the kingdom of God is God's presence in reigning and beginning to rule. As you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, He comes into your heart and life to manifest, to live, to know Christ in His power and His love, and to manifest the life of God, the joy, yes, but also the power of God. You ever notice that it takes spiritual power to save you? That it takes a spiritual power to indwell you, giving you the power to live for God, for Christ? An authority to be used, as Jesus says, to trample. See, the reason we've been given the authority is to trample the dark side. In other words, there is, listen carefully, there is a mission behind the giving of the authority. He didn't give the authority so we can walk around with a badge and say, look at me, look at me. I've got a badge. The authority is for use. Where demons have taken residence in human beings, and the power that says there, and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. You know why Jesus said nothing will harm you? Because of the fear associated here. That's why I mentioned on Monday night, you got to either decide whether you're going to live in fear or you're going to become fierce in Christ in these days. And I have noticed experientially and biblically in the book of Acts that when believers under the lordship of Christ begin to grow and do the will of God in the power of God, just like Jesus said to do it, that they grow stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And they become fierce. Acts 5:42 shows, well, they don't stop. Acts 9:22 shows they grow more and more powerful. And every believer listening right now, you can come to the point where nothing stops you. You can come to the point where you grow more and more powerful. Can I say again, there is no greater power than the power of God dwelling in you now. Appropriating and stepping out. Listen, listen to this principle. This will help you. Receiving all of God's grace, power, work, and might, His very presence, you receive by faith in Christ. You manifest that power of God, of Christ, in your obedience. Spirit-filled people were obedient believers. Obedient believers were spirit-filled people. That's what we see in the book of Acts. Now, what I wanted to bring to you concerning this ancient time anyway, as it goes on, God says again in verse 6, but you will see things that are even more detestable. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's true. And either it will embolden you to be outraged at darkness and what it does, and your desire, God grant every ounce of your grace, your might, your power to expose and crush the dark side, see victims released. Verse 7 says, then he brought me to the entrance of the court. I looked and I saw a hole in the wall. Maybe all you see right now is the hole and you're hearing about the stories. Verse 8 says, he said to me, son of man, now dig into the wall. You got to do some digging too, my friend. You got to do some research. You got to do some, you got to desire in your neighborhood, in your area where you live. Have you heard about reports? Have you heard about things? Is there a known area for a dark presence or rituals or Satanism and things like that? Then maybe go take a team and pray in that area. Pray that God would expose in your city. Pray that God would show in your city what's being done. Offer yourselves to God to be used redemptively in the context of spiritual warfare. Well, God's going to show Ezekiel the actual practitioners He's going to show Ezekiel the things portrayed, all the signs, all the symbols, the sigils, the markings, all the detestable demonized animals, maybe, and the idols, and the people there, and the naming. God names the demon gods and goddesses. God shows Ezekiel exactly who the perpetrators are. In verse 13, he says again, you will see them doing things that are even more detestable. Verse 15, he said to me, do you see this, son of man? You will see things that are even more detestable than this. God wanted something done. God wanted to bring exposure. God wanted to show. So in the sight of God, I urge every believer to throw down the fears, take up the total biblical counsel of God, understand the day in which we live. There are people out there being victimized. The satanic calendar tells us that they want to search for people this next week or so. That maybe this time, massive prayer, massive intercession, massive use of the authority of Christ by believers, praying that God will rip a hole wide open, bring massive exposure, help save, heal, and deliver the victims, engage the perpetrators, and especially those that play the doubling game of showing up at a church. You know, we've engaged those kind of individuals. You know, we should pray in all of our churches, God show where anyone has infiltrated, God among our ranks. But like in the house of Israel in the Old Testament, during the night, they are at the satanic ritual sites. They're playing a game. God sees it. And we ask in the name of the living Christ for God to rip open massive exposure. Darkness is best revealed at the arrival of Emmanuel, the Word become flesh. The demons, they know who Jesus is. I mean, Satan knows who Jesus is. They even know who real believers are. Remember the book of Acts? Jesus we know and Paul we know. That was the words of a demon. They knew Paul, saved the apostle then. They seem to know biblical prophecy. Look at chapter 12 and study it out, and you're going to see that Satan knew about the time of the arrival of Christ the first time. If you read Revelation 19:19, you're going to find out that the Antichrist and the demonized super soldier army knows something about the second coming of Christ. In Revelation 12, they know that time is short. The dark side knows this. The dark side knows their agenda. The dark side knows their end goal. They know who the enemy is. Can I ask the believers, do you know who the enemy is? Your struggle, not against flesh and blood, but against the Arche, the Cosmocrator, the Exthusia, the Porneus Pneumatikai. You read about that in Ephesians 6, basic teaching for every believer in Christ. It is the Word of God that gives the cutting edge precedent. We would do well to know all of it, to be ahead of everything that's going on, and set ourselves to ministry. Word of hope today, let me just give you again 1 John 3:8. Let me encourage you to memorize it, to understand it deeply. We'll see you on Wednesday night. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Remember us in your prayers. Remember us in support. God bless you.